Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, friendos, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the Dirt Sheet. This is the show where we compile all the... Wait, hold on, I should say this. This is a show where Larson compiles all the news
for
the
week. Well, that's not entirely true.
I do non-news, which is a Patreon exclusive.
That is true. You are solely responsible for non-news. I usually get a start on Dirt Sheet, but we collaborate, and I think this week there was some controversy in the Dirt Sheet world because there is a story that you were really excited about.
Yes.
I, a bit less, but nonetheless, I have this to propose to you. Crossover, collaboration.
Oh, no.
Let's start discussion of this story here.
Okay.
Finish it over on non-news,
which is our Patreon-exclusive show, which I produce. I don't even give you the notes to it.
You're literally solely responsible for the content of non-news.
$5 a month gets you a new episode of exclusive non-news. Non-news is, of course, news that really...
Isn't news.
It's not really news.
It's not really news.
But anyways, we got a chock full. We got a full episode of good stuff today.
Plus the story that's either so newsworthy or not newsworthy at all. It's gonna cross over both shows.
Polarizing story today. Anyways, we're also available, like I said, on the Patreon, so you get exclusive content on the Patreon, access to 3 live streams every single week, exclusive to patrons, and that's starting at the $5 a month mark. You can get one of those like 2 a month, 2 live streams a month,
mm-hmm.
at the $1 mark.
Correct.
So yeah, it's a good deal. We're also available on the Pro Wrestling Tees, the prowrestlingtees.com/goingandraw. We got a bunch of great designs there. Check them out. And more surely to come. Also, this Sunday, we are going to be live streaming our reactions to WWE Battleground. We will not. Let me just make sure. Are we going to be showing any of the pay-per-view itself on the live stream?
During this live stream, you'll see a shot of the two of us sitting on that couch
on the
over
couch
there.
Right there. Okay.
We may have food.
Right.
Steve's dog might make an appearance.
Sure.
But
yeah.
The frame you see at the beginning of the stream will be the frame for the duration of the stream, and at no point will we ever show a single frame of Battleground.
Things you might see, my dog, food, us, my child, maybe my wife, beer, things you definitely will not see.
Battleground.
Bet that is correct.
Yes. Now that's out of the way. I hope that's clear for everybody.
First in the news.
In the news. So last week we spoke extensively about this altercation between Paige and Alberto El Patron, Alberto
mm-hmm.
Del Rio,
mm-hmm.
at the Orlando airport.
Mm-hmm.
Police in Orlando were conducting an investigation to what happened. Paige, towards the tail end of last week, said that she was the one that was questioned for domestic battery. And according to Pro Wrestling Sheet, that is the case.
She was right.
Yeah. And they have confirmed with local authorities, quote, Paige should be charged with battery in regards to the airport incident involving Alberto El Patron. But they also said that it's up to the state's attorney whether she actually will be charged. The Pro Wrestling Sheet report continues. A representative for the Orlando PD tells us, Pro Wrestling Sheet, Orlando PD detectives have found that probable cause exists to charge, how do you say her first name?
Soraya Bevis.
There you go. With battery, detectives have sent the information to the state's attorney's office for review, and the state's attorney's office will determine whether to file charges in the case.
Ooh, ay, que lastima.
Yeah, so the police are saying she should be charged.
Yeah, so this is kind of interesting. This
and this has direct bearing on the future of the wrestling career.
Yeah.
At least specifically in WWE.
That's why this is interesting. This might be a fast track to Global Force Wrestling. Because the WWE has a domestic violence policy.
In addition to a wellness policy, yes.
Right, exactly. And according to that, if she is charged, she will, once again, be suspended. If convicted, she'll be fired.
Yeah, her contract will be terminated.
Now, there are, you know...
Pro Wrestling Sheet mentioned this at the end of their story. Sorry to interrupt you.
Right. Now... It's hard not to think that Paige has kind of wanted to be out of her WWE. Like, we've heard rumblings that she has wanted out of her WWE contract
yeah, we heard
for
that,
a while.
After Del Rio left, that she was hiring a lawyer to mm-hmm. find a way to either negotiate out of her contract or find some legal means to get out of it.
Yeah. Now, if all I have to do, Larson, to get out of a contract that I don't want to be in is to hit you and you want to help me to get out of that contract, and so you're willing to take a bump so that I can then join you in Jeff Jarrett's promotion, number one, would you do that?
No, because I don't want to face the legal ramifications for that, whether it be a fine, prison time, so on.
Of some sort. I would think that'd be some sort of... Well, no, I would be hitting you, so... This,
well, I wouldn't want...
Be, I would
like,
be the
you
one.
You go to jail for 2 months, then what am I
going
to do?
Going to jail for
what
that.
What am I going to do?
What
I can't do the
like,
show by myself.
She, like, threw a beer at him.
I certainly can't do non-news by myself. You do that show.
Battery. I don't know what battery entails. Is that just throwing a beer at somebody? Because that's what she said she did.
Yeah.
She ain't going to jail for that. She'll get, like, probation or something.
Yeah. Nonetheless, there's legal ramifications.
But, I mean, the point is this. Is there any chance that they, like, orchestrated this in order to get her out of her contract? And if so, I think the bigger question is this. So, according to that policy, she'll be fired if convicted. I would think that the no-compete clause would probably extend through the life of the original contract.
Well, I mean,
I don't know. I mean, termination of the contract means one thing, and I imagine it's at their discretion as well.
I would think so, perhaps. I mean, in my eyes, and I could be wrong from a legal sense, terminating a contract means essentially they rip the contract up.
Right, yeah.
So if that... Because like when Austin Aries was released... the reports I read that were very specific to say because he was released mm-hmm. after 90 days, he can go wrestle again.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But if he were to leave,
yeah.
then he would not be able to wrestle for the remaining term of his contract.
Yeah, yeah. Paige cannot wrestle for anybody until the remainder of her contract is up, plus probably 90 days.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, in 9 times out of 10, this right here is you're fired as punishment for being convicted. If the WWE gets one whiff of the idea that she wants to be fired, and I imagine they know at this point whether she wants to be fired or not. If she did lawyer up with the intent of getting out of her contract, then they have a pretty good idea that she wants out of her contract.
Yeah.
And that this might be a stunt to get out of her contract. If that's the case, I would imagine they would be like, well, no, we can say whether or not we're going to enforce
yeah.
this because
yeah.
obviously you want out of your contract.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's eye opening. It's just more shenanigans. But
it's hard. Just you know they've been involved in incidents before,
mm-hmm.
like when Paige seemingly got arrested in Las Vegas a couple of years or a year and a half ago, whenever
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
You know, so who knows.
I mean, there's been no word on Alberto Del Rio's status with Glee. He's still indefinitely suspended.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't really changed.
Nope.
They haven't really said one way or the other about
I wonder if and when Paige is charged, if it is to happen, whether GFW would pretty quickly unsuspend Alberto.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, if she's the one at fault, you would think so. But at the same time, you know, they can unsuspend the guy, and they can also, I mean, he was.
They can unmake him champion.
Yeah, they can unmake him champion. I mean, you know, there's also reports that Rey Mysterio has been in talks with Global mm-hmm. Force Wrestling to bring him back.
But he wouldn't be able to return until after the conclusion of Lucha Underground's third season, which I checked. Is beginning in September.
Yeah, but you know what? That's number one. He was, I think, their highest paid wrestler. And Meltzer in the latest Wrestling Observer said that's if his contract is the same as everybody else's.
Mm,
which
a fair point.
The chance that it's not.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, that leaves there. You're right. That leaves a lot of things up in the air. I mean, that affects me greatly because I do reviews of Global Force Wrestling at youtube.com/MF Steve.
Yeah.
We're about to start doing a gaming podcast over there as
not
well.
True at all.
You're not going to bring back FriendoCast?
No.
What about Podcast with Win?
No.
No, we don't own that.
No.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes you hear, like, in the news about, like, couples who are, like, you know, arrested together because they've been up to some shenanigans. And Paige and Alberto Del Rio, on the surface, just remind me of that. You know, just like, you know, this pair was charged with, you know, fraud. They were cashing Social Security checks. And it's like, how does one scumbag find another scumbag? I never know. And I'm not saying they're scumbags. I'm just saying there's always some stuff going on with these two. So, I don't know. I don't like Del Rio as my Global Force Wrestling champion right now anyway. So, whatever gets him out of that role. So, he was also was it released or relieved of his duties?
Or stepped down.
What is it, Combate Americano or something like that?
MMA promotion.
Yeah, he stepped down. Apparently, the head of that organization has defended Alberto at every turn. But this might be maybe this was the straw that broke the camel's back. Or maybe Alberto did say, hey, I want to concentrate on my wrestling career. I want to concentrate full time on getting my wife to Global Force Wrestling.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we'll see what happens with that.
Yes. Next, a pretty major story that broke Wednesday. Twitter account, Talk MMA.
Yeah.
And they broke a potentially massive story.
Huge story regarding the current WWE Universal Champion Brock Lesnar.
Yes. So according to Talk MMA, Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman were at UFC headquarters to meet with officials there, and apparently, according to Talk MMA, rumor has it that Lesnar would return to competition, in their words, immediately.
Wow.
With a goal of making an appearance, fighting, I guess, at the UFC show at Madison Square Garden on November 4th.
Yes.
That's 3.5 months away.
Mm-hmm.
Talk MMA also mentioned that Lesnar would drop the Universal title at SummerSlam, and he had already re-entered the USADA drug testing pool. So, remember correctly, after his last fight in UFC, he failed a couple drug tests. USADA gave him a one-year suspension. He retired, I think, 5 months shy of serving out that suspension.
So he still has to serve.
So he has to re-enter the pool,
yeah,
serve that 5 months suspension,
yeah,
and then he'll be eligible to fight the remainder of his suspension. Sorry,
He's also fined $250,000 from his purse of $5.5 million for that UFC fight.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Yeah. Pro Wrestling Sheet later confirmed a lot of what Talk MMA had to say, but they added that Lesnar wasn't looking to return November 4th, saying, quote, sources tell us Brock's contract with WWE expires not long after WrestleMania 34 next year, and he's already made it clear to backstage officials that he currently doesn't intend to re-sign. We're told the reason Lesnar has re-entered the testing pool is so that when his contract is up, he can make the right decision about his next career move should he want to return to MMA. So it's not a guarantee he's going to return to the UFC.
Right.
He's just keeping his options open.
Exactly, yeah.
But UFC Vice President Jeff Nowitzki told MMA Junkie that Lesnar, quote, is not currently enrolled in the USADA drug testing pool, nor has there been any inquiry on his part to do so, and added there was, quote, zero truth to rumors Lesnar was eyeing a return to the UFC.
That sounds like something a UFC vice president would say, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me if he said otherwise, then there could be some tampering things going on.
Oh, potentially, yeah.
I think.
Pro Wrestling Sheet added, in response to Jeff Nowitzki's statement, that while Lesnar hasn't re-entered the testing pool just yet, he is in the process of doing so.
Yeah. According to the Wrestling Observer about this, there are, quote, there are reports that Lesnar is not looking at a new deal with WWE in April because he could earn considerably more money in the UFC, but that he could simply be negotiating leverage, similar to how everything went down in 2015 when he had the same choice to make. He says, Wrestling Observer does say, we did get feedback from those in WWE who believe that Lesnar is leaving at Mania, but keep in mind that was considered a given by many in 2015 as well. Those who know the situation have said that the Lesnar contract has option years in the sense that it does end in April, but it can continue past April if neither side informs the other they are leaving, and that Lesnar has not said that he's leaving, and it's a decision he hasn't made at this time. So a variety of conflicting reports here, from he's entered the process to, or he's placed fighting in the pool.
He's fighting November 4th.
Yeah.
Which means he would have to enter the testing pool 5 months prior, so that would be early June.
That would be like last month.
Yeah, exactly. That would have had to have happened.
Yeah.
He's in the process of reentering. There's no, he's not entering.
Mm-hmm.
There's, he hasn't made up his mind.
Yeah.
Meltzer was gave a pretty clear breakdown of his previous negotiation, how that went, and you know it seemed at that time while maybe Lesnar was interested in a return to UFC, he did realize as well that he could use that interest or the impression of interest for leverage and negotiations with WWE.
I mean, if I recall correctly, in 2015 when he re-signed, I mean, both according to Wrestling Observer as well, like both offers were on the table and then both offers increased in that mm-hmm. last week.
Mm-hmm.
So Lesnar knows how to milk everything for what it's worth.
Yes.
So we can kind of see his future, how it's going to shape out or how it's going to turn out or what his decision-making process might be leaning towards given what happens at SummerSlam.
Yes.
Like, you can sort of start there. It looks like, and Wrestling Observer notices this as well, but we've been talking about it here on the show, that especially after this past Raw, SummerSlam is shaping up to be a four-way for the Universal title.
Yes.
And so, I don't know, if Lesnar drops the belt, I would think that'd be a good indication that maybe he's indicated that, yeah, I'm looking at this.
Well, also, we've heard and read reports over the last few weeks that, based on how ratings have gone lately,
mm-hmm.
the WWE officials are at least somewhat interested in seeing if ratings would improve if their Universal Champion was on TV every week.
Yeah, right.
And if it's a four-way match, then Lesnar doesn't have to get pinned to lose the belt. He's protected. If they still want to do Reigns-Lesnar at WrestleMania... Mm-hmm. Have Reigns walk in as champion.
And also, think about this. What happened last time the entire WWE Universe knew that Brock Lesnar was leaving?
They crapped all over the match.
And who would they love to have up against a guy the crowd is crapping all over?
Roman Reigns.
Exactly.
Yep.
So that could be another way to try to get Roman Reigns over, is to have him facing a guy who everybody knows is on the way out for potentially more money and just, you know, turn it. When he turns his back on the WWE, people don't like that.
Yeah.
They want him to be there.
Yes, totally.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. I really, if this is even a possibility, the fact that this has been popping up leads him to believe that that title is not going to be around his waist after SummerSlam.
I'd be very surprised, too.
Yeah, I know.
Even before this, I would say it's a coin flip whether
the title stays
on or not.
Yeah.
I understand the utility of having part-timers under the WWE's employ showing up on these major pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I'll always go back to WrestleMania. The Owens-Jericho feud should have been for the Universal title. That belt was such an important part of their storyline. And to take that belt, granted, I know the U.S. title was there. It's not the same thing. Taking that belt out of that feud, it lessened the impact for
me. Dude, back in the Attitude Era, and I hate using that phrase, but you had hot stars. I mean, yeah, they brought in guests. They brought in, like, Mike Tyson. But, you know, they relied on the guys who were there full time.
Yeah.
And the WWE,
and they built stars.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you... You're going to need guys 10 years from now. You're going to need part-timers 10 years from now to come in and boost your ratings.
I know.
And you need to be making those stars right now.
Yep.
This is the time you have so much great talent that you need to be utilizing. You need to be doing inventive storylines that take twists and turns every single week with the same cast of characters. And these guys who come in, like Lesnar and like Goldberg and even like Cena, who just come in, and then when they're gone, you see the ratings crap back down. Well, you need that foundation to keep your ratings strong. You really do.
You really do. I mean, going back to creating interesting storylines, I want to know who's writing 205 Live. Because week in and week out,
I know.
Not to say there's huge twists and turns of the storylines, but their storylines, they take their time.
Yeah.
They're motivated.
They make sense. Yeah,
they make sense. Yeah. They're well plotted out, and they're all based on character.
And whoever's doing that needs to take over the Bray Wyatt thing.
Yeah.
Because I think they could do a really good job with Bray Wyatt. I'm really kind of interested to know who actually writes 205 Live.
Yeah, me too. But then, like, you hear these reports that they're giving Bray Wyatt some wins to build him up so he can have a feud with Reigns and lose to Reigns. I mean, I mean, I've questioned the wisdom for a while of mortgaging the entire company's future just to get Roman Reigns over.
Yeah, I know. Which is another reason why they should be... I'm not huge on him winning the belt at SummerSlam, but I kind of just... Number one, I'm kind of excited about Lesnar leaving because he's just this thing that, like, you have to shoehorn into, and you know how they're going to use them.
Yep.
I mean, we saw what happened at Great Balls of Fire, 1F5, and Samoa Joe was down.
Yeah.
Granted, that was on the tail end of a very good match. But I just want the Brock Lesnar thing to be done with because it's so predictable.
I know.
And by extension of that, I want the Roman Reigns experiment to come to its conclusion, figure out if he can be your top guy or not. You know,
they've had, 3 years?
They've had a long time.
I would think there would be a large enough sample size of data
if
they're going by merch sales, house show attendance, can't really say pay-per-view buys,
I guess
network subscriptions. There's metrics in place where I would guess they would be able to look at this and say, okay, he's generating X number of dollars in revenue for the company.
You're right, yeah.
And if, as we mentioned, I think it was Monday, there was a story that Vince was starting to sour on the Reigns push.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, if he looks at those numbers and see that they're going in the wrong direction, if they're going down,
yeah,
you got to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially when you have people like Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, AJ Styles,
mm-hmm,
The New Day.
Mm-hmm.
And wrestlers are already extremely over, extremely popular.
Yeah, and you're loading up NXT
with,
like, a mass of just great singles talent there.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's see here. Also in the news, this is an interesting one. You said this off camera, kind of flying under the radar, but it's kind of a big deal if true.
Yeah, if true.
Signify a sea change going forward with the WWE.
Potentially. Sports Illustrated's Justin Barrasso was on WrestleZone's WZ Daily, and during the course of the conversation talking about Talking Smack, Justin brought up this point. Quote, Vince is in regular presence at SmackDown, which we've heard before that he doesn't travel quite as much as he used to.
Right.
Going back to his quote, I have confirmed that he is, and he's got Stephanie on Raw, and he's got Shane on SmackDown. I can't get confirmation if Shane is just talent or Shane is office and talent. I truly believe that Shane is back in the office, and he is the one who is overseeing SmackDown. This is pretty massive.
This is pretty huge because it means that Vince is winding down his hands-on approach to the company. And, I mean, everybody up until, God, there was some interview. Who was it with? It was an interview that I was just reading about the other day. Oh, no. It was one I was reading this morning with Alex Riley, and I'll send you the source so you can put it in the description. But he was talking about, you know, Vince and Hunter, and he was talking about Vince saying that, yeah, the dude is incredibly hands-on. Now, Alex Riley hasn't been around for a little while, but Vince is very, very hands-on.
Yes,
traditionally has been, and everybody can tell you that.
We used to travel.
Yeah.
With at least the television broadcast.
And it kind of came out fairly recently that he wasn't doing that anymore.
Yeah, I remember we first heard about it around Payback because he wasn't, I don't think he made that trip.
Right.
Is what we heard.
Yeah.
And now Stephanie is kind of the executive in charge of creative, if I remember correctly.
Right.
But when Shane was brought back, it was strictly for an on-camera role.
But then we started hearing rumblings that he was being, he was asking for a TV production tour, like so he can understand how things worked in the office and at TV. And so you got the feeling that, maybe he was just there to be an on-camera character. But number one, he's been around for a little while now.
Yeah.
Like, he was brought back for WrestleMania. We weren't sure, WrestleMania last year, not this past year, but last year. And we weren't sure exactly how long he was going to stick around, but he's been there ever since.
Yeah.
You know?
And then one of the reasons, according to him, when he did the WWE Network podcast with Mick Foley, that he left initially in 2010 was he didn't feel as if his ideas creatively were being used.
Right, right.
And it was causing some tension in his relationship with Vince. So maybe, you know, he's gotten to the point now after he's been back for a couple of years, or a year and a half, that, he's starting to kind of work his way back into the creative aspect of things.
Well, we know that Road Dogg and Michael Hayes are two of the lead guys.
Yeah, they have pretty prominent roles on SmackDown.
Right, exactly. So You know, probably should have just hit him up on Twitter. So, Road Dogg, who's the head of SmackDown?
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, never gets old.
No, it doesn't.
So, I mean, you know, we get the question here often on the show. What do you think is the WWE going to look like when Vince steps away? We could be seeing that right now.
At least the early stages of it.
I'm sure Vince would like to think that, yeah, I'm going to do this until I die. But the bottom line is, man, if you get out of bed and you're like a million years old like he is, like, it's totally fine just not to get on the plane and travel.
Being on the road.
Meaningless TV.
Being on the road 3 to 4 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, when you're past 70.
Yeah.
That probably isn't a whole lot of fun.
Probably not. You know, a lot more things to take.
Plus, dealing with all of the business dealings that it is involved in running the WWE. That alone,
yeah.
Not even taking into account the creative aspect of it. That's got to be a full time job.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So that's got to be a lot of full time jobs.
I know.
But
I know.
Vince seems to like to do all that stuff.
I know. He's a man that doesn't like to sneeze.
Yeah, but it's wrestling is so weird because like Shane comes back to fight the Undertaker, and then the brand split happens, and he's an on screen commissioner.
Yeah, and then a year and a half later, he's running the show.
He's actually commissioner. It'd be great if they actually just gave him that title,
you know? Like for real backstage.
For real,
you're the new commissioner of SmackDown.
The commissioner.
Live.
Oh, so anyways.
All right, tease this story. We're going to cover further on news.
How about this? I'll do one better. If you want this episode of non-news, here's what I'm going to cover. I'll get to everything before this.
Yeah, yeah.
Another Ring of Honor star headed to WWE. Which one is it? Find out on non-news. You know why that's non-news? Because they're just snapping up every Ring of Honor guy now. CM Punk and Jeff Jarrett, new tag team, maybe. Find out on non-news. And then huge news. Huge non-news.
There you go.
Hulk Hogan, the movie, coming out soon. Find out on non-news.
It's going to be called The Immortal.
So this was reported, again, by the Wrestling Observer. I was reading through this thing, and I was like, this is so it's kind of akin to the Vince McMahon.
It's a fictionalized biography.
But it's, like, less fictionalized than the Vince McMahon one, which was, like, hilariously fictionalized.
But, you know, it could be inferred based on the Vince script where they had the thing at the beginning saying this movie is about as true as pro wrestling is.
Right, right.
So that's kind of the point of that movie. Whereas
so this is
we
being,
have no idea if that's the case with this one.
This is being shopped around by the writing team of Steve Desmond and Michael Sherman, who have a website called something like, it's called Dreaming Ants. And I'm looking for, wait, so The Blacklist, do they actually write for The Blacklist on NBC? No, it's just The Blacklist. That's what they call the scripts in Hollywood that haven't been made.
Yeah.
Monsters?
Oh, is that the...
Is that the, no.
No, it's not the one that's the guy that did Godzilla.
So it looks like they're really trying hard to get their name out there in Hollywood. And what better way than to do a Hulk Hogan movie?
Give us a couple highlights of what this movie's going to entail, Steve.
All right, well, very loosely.
And we can go in more detail.
Okay, well.
On non-news.
Apparently it features, towards the beginning of the movie, Terry Bollea, Hulk Hogan, as a fat kid in school who was considered a loser and got bullied. According to Wrestling Observer, there is actually no evidence of either of those things past the idea that Hogan wasn't a star athlete in high school, but he was a huge kid. All right, so there's one thing. He's going to be bullied and fat, which is kind of funny. Let's see here. One day he found out that pro wrestling was fake and began to harass wrestling promoter Mike Graham, who I think wasn't Mike Graham the guy who said Jeff Jarrett broke 1,000 guitars and never drew a dime?
6,000.
Wrestling Observer notes here that Mike Graham was actually a classmate of Hogan's in high school, and his father ran the wrestling company.
All right, that's good.
So, yeah.
Save the rest for non-news.
We'll save the rest for non-news. There's a couple more chunks in here. There was a couple actually real tidbits about Hogan I didn't know about, which were really kind of disturbing. So anyways, yeah, $5 a month, that gets you non-news every week. It's my favorite show on the
Steve's favorite show. Network. I can vouch for Steve's enthusiasm for non-news each and every week.
Let's answer some questions.
Yes, we should. Jason White Jr., Shane McMahon was in a helicopter when it had to do an emergency crash landing in the water yesterday. Is Shane literally indestructible? In the press conference afterwards, he seemed really calm. I would have still have been freaked out.
So this was originally in non-news, but then I noticed that you included the question here, so we can talk about it here. Yeah, Shane McMahon and his pilot had to do an emergency landing in water, but according to Shane McMahon, the pilot was extremely calm through the entire thing, and he described every bit of the process as was happening, and Shane said he felt completely at peace with what was happening, felt that it was going to be okay. And then he gave an interview with the local news afterwards, and it was all good. He's fine.
Yeah. What was the Young Bucks tweet about this? Only Shane McMahon could take a bump from a helicopter or something like that and be fine.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
That's awesome. God damn it. You know, Twitter is a real son of a bitch, but sometimes Twitter can be amazing.
Yeah.
Twitter can be good. Let's see here next. Chalupa Batman asks. Power rankings.
Power rankings. We got a lot of power rankings.
Give me your power rankings. Of five NXT talents and five SmackDown Live talents you'd like to see answer the United States title open challenge.
You do NXT, I'll do SmackDown, we shall alternate.
All right, sounds good. Okay, there we go. All right, number five for NXT, I want to see Andrade.
You can just put Almas.
Almas.
All right. For number five for me, I want to see... Mike Kanellis.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. Let's see here. Number four for me, I want to see... Oh, he's too big for it. Oh. Cassius Ohno.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, no. The crowd would pop if they heard, oh, no.
Oh, no. Four for me is Baron Corbin.
Number three.
Three.
Oh, Oney Lorcan.
Oh, good call.
There we go.
My number three is going to be Sami Zayn.
Wow. My number two is going to be Aleister Black.
Good call. My number two is going to be... Can't type right now. Shinsuke Nakamura.
My number one is going to be Asuka.
My number one is going to be...
Ty Dillinger.
Ty Dillinger.
I got to start doing the who joke to Luke Harper. And I don't care if you guys don't care, although he might be coming out on...
Could be.
With, what's his face?
Could be, Eric Rowan. Lindsay DXHBK. More power rankings. With the past few years having WWE 2K feature a returning superstar, with Kurt Angle being the most recent rank, the top five most likely persons to be featured in next year's games. Let's speculate. There's not a whole lot of people who have left.
CM Punk.
Back. Oh, that's going to be number one.
Number five, CM Punk. Because it's not going to happen.
Oh, I know it's not going to happen.
Lindsay here is asking for the...
Oh, most likely.
Most
okay.
likely. Okay. So we'll say at the very bottom, CM Punk.
Okay.
Because I got CM Punk my non-news today.
Is it too early to say The Undertaker can come back? He just retired.
No, I'd say Undertaker's good. I'd actually probably put Undertaker higher on the list. You know what I'm going to say here? Daniel Bryan.
Oh, yeah.
Number three, Daniel Bryan.
Good. Very good.
We're running out. I mean, these are actually, like, these two are actually kind of good.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're going to do for number one and two. Number two. Number two, number two, number two. A returning superstar. Who could be returning? Alberto Del Rio.
Jack Swagger.
That's terrible. He's not even in the top 20.
Jeff Jarrett.
He's even further out of the top list. Who can return? Who can return? Who can return? Yeah. Brian. Brian. No, he's way out of there. There will be no Benoit in that game.
No.
What about, boom, El Gigante.
Giant Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
See, I would have said the Hardy Boys, but
yeah,
they're back.
Yeah, man, they're back already. I'll be honest, man. Something tells me it's going to be either Daniel Bryan or Undertaker. That'd be a bummer about Daniel Bryan, though. You don't really want to do that. Like, that's kind of rubbing salt in the wound.
I know.
It's probably going to be Undertaker. Undertaker. What about Lex Luger? Number four, Lex Luger.
Yeah, that's good.
Number two. Let's say number three is Daniel Bryan. Who's more likely to be featured as a returning superstar, Daniel Bryan or Lex Luger?
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, it's Daniel Bryan.
What about Chris Jericho?
I mean, he's already there, man.
Well, not currently. John Cena.
John, there you go. John Cena. Man, there really is nobody, huh?
What about...
What are they going to do?
Rob Van Dam.
Oh, that'd be rad. What do you say? How about this? Number two, Scott Steiner.
Oh, dear.
You fat bastard.
Not going to
fat asses.
Not gonna
I'm going to run down your fat asses. Him and Matthews in a golf cart running down Abyss, and that was good stuff. He's really funny. All right, moving on. Sean Oliver. So it looks like it'll be a fatal four-way at SummerSlam for the Universal title. What are the chances Brock Lesnar loses the title? Is this WWE's way to protect Lesnar and Reigns to make sure neither of them take a pin?
It's definitely a way to protect Lesnar, so he's going to take a pin.
Yeah, Reigns is not going to take a pin.
No, Reigns is probably going to win. I still feel like the best storyline, especially if they don't want Lesnar to be involved in the Universal title scene at WrestleMania next year, Strowman wins it. Next pay-per-view, Strowman Reigns, Reigns loses again. Come back around WrestleMania, Strowman Reigns. Reigns finally takes the belt off.
Wait, so you're saying Strowman's going to win at SummerSlam?
I don't think he is. I think that'd be the best option.
I think he's going to win. I think it's going to be Strowman at SummerSlam. Awesome. That'd be great. Are you kidding me? Look at how they're booking him right now. Tell me he's not a Universal Champion.
No, he's a deserving Universal Champion.
He is a legit Universal Champion right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to take that thing off him. Give me a break.
So I guess if Strowman is the one to win it,
mm-hmm.
Reigns could take the pin. Because he's already pinned Reigns twice.
Well, dude, come on. Once. The most likely person is going to get the pin is Samoa Joe.
Probably.
Yeah.
Lesnar is not going to get pinned.
F5. No, Lesnar's not going to get pinned. He's scary. We have video questions.
We do have video questions. First, from Michael Berry.
Let's see what Michael Berry has to say.
What are some of your guys' most controversial wrestling opinions? I know you guys both share the Bret Hart opinion. I agree. I was pretty excited to hear someone agree with me on that. But I remember in Discord chat a while ago, I mentioned how I thought Bobby Roode was a boring wrestler in my eyes to like the last 5 minutes. And I'm not a fan of Nia Jax at all. And would love to hear some of your guys' controversial opinions.
Thank you, Michael Berry.
What are some more controversial wrestling opinions? I feel like Dave Meltzer was throwing some shade at us the other day.
Oh, how so?
That could just be my ego talking. Somebody asked him about Bret Hart, and he says, Bret Hart was one of the best ever, and I laugh at anybody else who says otherwise.
Oh. He's got an opinion, too.
No, it's fine, I know, but it's kind of condescending.
It's a very strongly held
one. I laugh at you for having a subjective view on Bret Hart. Here's my thing about Bret Hart. Yes, he was a very good wrestler. I found, like, how does anybody find his character compelling?
I know.
At all.
I know.
Against any number of other people. I'm not crapping on the guy. I'm really not. I just, like, look, man, if you're watching a movie and you have, like, 10 compelling characters and then one guy who, like, is not that compelling a character.
But he's a really good actor.
Yeah. Like, you know, what do you care? Or even worse, like, you're watching a movie about sports. And one of the guys is really good at whatever sports movie this is that they're playing, but like he doesn't get any lines, or you don't remember anything he says.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, you don't remember that guy?
Yeah, no.
He's one of the best ever in that movie?
No.
No, not really. That's kind of my take on it. I just found him boring. He was good. He was really good in the ring.
He was a good wrestler.
Fine, I'll say he was great. He was a great wrestler.
He was a very good wrestler.
Right.
I think here's the thing about Bret Hart. I know this isn't answering Michael Berry's question, but
We'll come back around to his question.
I think if Bret hadn't said that he was the best, and everybody else said that he was the best, I would probably think more of his in-ring abilities.
Yeah.
So everybody's saying, oh, he's one of the best technical wrestlers ever wrestle.
Right.
I feel like a lot of his matches are just the exact same, though. Like he has, he's a good, he's a really great seller.
Mm-hmm,
he's a great seller.
Yeah.
I'll admit that. But like whenever he does his flurry of offense,
mm-hmm.
it's more or less the same five moves in the same sequence.
Yeah,
that's just how I feel. I'm not an expert on Brett's entire career.
Right.
But I've seen a good number of his matches.
Yeah.
With the exception, there's one match that doesn't necessarily fall into that category. It's his match against Piper at WrestleMania 8.
Because mm-hmm.
that match starts out as more of a technical type match, and then about halfway through it becomes a brawl.
Okay, yeah.
So, and, I mean, in my opinion, that's the best Bret Hart match I've seen. Maybe I need to watch more Bret Hart. Entirely possible.
Mm-hmm.
But based on the dozens of matches I've seen of his, that's just the opinion I've formed.
Yeah.
Very good in the ring. Great seller.
Yep.
Promo wise, not the best.
Right. Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's my main thing, man. I watch for for characters and stuff. I don't really think Dave Meltzer was throwing shade at us. I'd be surprised.
No, I don't think so either. I think that's the last thing we were probably doing.
But anyways, what are some of your other controversial wrestling opinions? That's sort of the big one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it, I think.
Yeah, I don't have any, if I sat here and really thought about it, but, that's kind of it. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sure we might be able to think of something else. I mean, is it controversial? So I'm not like a big, when I first saw Shibata, at Wrestle Kingdom, and I saw, him up to his last match, I was a big fan of his, but his last match I didn't like because it was you're just taking liberties.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if that'd be considered a controversial opinion or not, in that I just don't think that wrestling should be that stiff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think wrestling should be that stiff.
Yeah.
I think that, you're supposed to try to make it look real, not be real, and certainly not headbutt the crap out of somebody else.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I've said this before. I don't know if it's controversial. I don't like Finn Balor's demon persona.
Oh, yeah. But do you just not like it aesthetically? No, you don't like it because he doesn't do anything new with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
I don't like it because it's purely aesthetics.
Yeah. That's kind of controversial right there. What's next? Patrick Sparks is next.
Yes.
Let's see what Patrick has to say.
Hey, friendos. Pat here. Not dead. Quite alive, actually. And I'm returning with another video question. Thanks, Adam. So, Brock Lesnar might be going back to the UFC after his WWE contract is up. Might not be. I don't think so. Mark Henry recently said that he will become a backstage talent rather than an in-ring competitor in a few months here, officially announcing his retirement for real this time, not the John Cena way. This being said, it made me think that people are either going to get released, fired, or retire in the upcoming months or years. So, power rankings, 1-5, minus Brock Lesnar and Mark Henry. Who are the next people to either get fired, released, retire, or wish WWE their best in their future endeavors like Ryback? So, thanks, friendos. Bye.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick. Okay.
Power rankings.
Next five talents to leave the WWE. Can we not include the colognes here because... There was a rumor they were going to be released, and one of them got injured.
I thought the rumor was that they asked for the release.
Oh, okay.
But still, a release.
That's kind of a boring one. But well, they'd be number five, the clones. What are you looking at? WWE personnel.
The roster.
WWE roster. Leave.
I think one's going to be Paige.
Yeah, Paige is number one. Well, Big Show has said that he's already...
True, he's winding down his wrestling career, so that's a good number four.
Big Show.
Or two. The Ascension at three.
Okay. They need jobbers, though.
No, I know.
They're not asking to leave anytime soon. I don't think they're asking anything. They go to work. They keep their heads down.
All right, fair enough.
It's not, I don't think they're censoring anything. They need guys like that, just like they need guys like Curt Hawkins. I think. They need jobbers, right?
Yeah.
Let's see here. You know, would you be surprised if after SummerSlam, WWE released Enzo?
I don't know if it'd be that quick. Because I think that
they got to see what they can get out of him.
Yeah.
But man, they need to put they need to figure out something for him.
Oh, definitely.
They need to figure out something for him.
Rhino.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. That wouldn't surprise me.
If he were to retire, wouldn't surprise me at all.
Do you think they're ever going to end the Sin Cara experiment?
That I don't know.
Like, would they even announce it if it was Sin Cara? Or would they just get, like, a new guy to be Sin Cara? Because I would imagine, maybe, I wonder if his merch sells okay. Like, whenever I go to Target, I always see heck of Sin Cara stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the initially, that was the thing.
Yeah.
Is that Sin Cara always sold a lot of merch.
Yeah. So maybe Sin Cara will stick around. I mean, maybe. It's not a guy, it's a suit.
Yeah. What about Mickie James? I know she just came back, but they really, really haven't done anything with her.
Yeah, but she, something tells me she's probably a good locker room guy.
Could be.
You know? Let's see, yeah, let's see the women's division.
Summer Rae hasn't been around for a while.
She has not been around for a while. But again, they need experienced people in that division. I mean, I would think most of them have their freaking job security. Unless Summer Rae wanted to go. Is she still recovering?
I thought
she was ready to go.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Grandma Talik. They never use him.
Yeah, he's rarely on TV. Apparently he's been doing a main event and house shows.
Yeah. You think R-Truth is done soon? He's old. He's so old. He's like 45.
Goldust might be done soon, too. He might be giving it one last run.
Yeah, it feels like they're doing a, hey, they're done thing. But it's kind of crazy how good R-Truth still looks.
Oh, I know.
For being 45. Man, that dude's fit.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, anyways, there's a lot of good names we threw out.
Yeah.
All people that we wish nothing but the best for.
Yes.
Speaking of wishing nothing but the best for, Lee Fox. Wish nothing but the best for him. In his video question for us, let's see what Lee has to say.
Do you see John Cena going to Raw and winning his 17th title on Raw, being that the Universal title is the top prize? And if you are going to overtake Ric Flair's record, are you going to let John Cena win his 17th title at WrestleMania, whoever it's against, on the grandest stage of them all? Let me know what you think, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Lee. Would you like to look at the television, Mr. Lee? Anyways, this question is, do you see John Cena going to Raw and winning the Universal title?
Not anytime soon.
You don't see Cena versus Reigns at WrestleMania for the Universal title?
Yeah, that's a possibility, but I don't see Cena winning that match.
Yeah, Cena. He's not going to beat Reigns.
No, Cena has said himself he's winding down his in-ring career.
Yeah.
You know what that translates to? Losing.
That is true. Do you think he's going to break? Do you think, well, yeah, he might break that record at.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets one more title run.
Like at SummerSlam.
Potentially.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. There's too many guys that need that title.
Yes.
Last up, Fernie has a question. Fernie, what do you have for us?
Hey, Steven Larson, as well as all my online friendos out there. With WWE 2K18 finally come out in October, it makes me wonder how a New Japan game would be like. Personally, I want it to be more like anime graphics, like in certain DBZ games and all the other anime games out there, unlike the real-life graphics that 2K series are doing. I also expect a campaign mode where you have to join either a faction or be a lone wolf like Shibata, whether it's the Gucci Japan, Bullet Club, Suzuki Gun, Chaos, or LIJ. Whether you start from the bottom and then you take over the faction or making up your own. What do you guys think? What would you like to see in a New Japan game?
Thank you, Fernie.
Oh, man, what a great question. A New Japan video game. And I don't want one of them Tekken fighting games. I want a New Japan video game. Here's my suggestion for a My Career mode. At the start, My Career, you're a young lion. Then you have to choose Bullet Club. Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Yeah, Fernie mentioned something like that.
The Taguchi Japan.
Chaos. Or no faction.
Or no, ooh, rolling factionless. What about Suzuki-gun?
What about Bullet Club Hunters?
How about you start off a Bullet Club Hunter?
There you go. You have to work your way out of Bullet Club Hunter.
Oh, man. That's like legendary mode. Oh, you have to man the table.
This is what I want. I want the old N64 Aki games.
Okay.
That engine. Updated graphics.
Yeah. Good.
With the full New Japan roster.
Oh, I like that.
That's what I want.
Hey, you know what I ordered the other day?
Oh, the adapter?
The adapter.
Nice.
The adapter.
Nice.
You don't know what we're talking about? Too bad. You're going to stay tuned.
Yes. That's what I want.
Yeah.
What you said is good, too, and what Fernie says is good, but what I want is most of all that.
Telling you, man, start off as a young lion.
No, that's good.
L.I.J. Chaos Suzuki Run. Bullet Club Hunter. I want to go be with Yoshitatsu, Billy Gunn, and then the Tempura Boys. I want to be with them. Finally, we have one last question from A.O. Worm. Let's see what A.O. Worm has to say.
What's good, everybody? This is your boy, the Second City Champion, A.O. Worm, here with my first time video question. Long story short, what TNA superstars would you like to see from the past or present come over to the WWE? Me, personally, I would like to see James Storm come back and team up with Bobby Roode to form Beer Money. Back in the day, the TNA, that was my favorite tag team, so I would love to see them riding the sunset together in the WWE. But that's just my opinion. What do you guys think about that? And also, who would you like to see come over from TNA to WWE to make a huge impact? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. TNA talent. And by the way, A.O. Worm, thank you for calling it TNA still.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love I still have such a hard time saying GFW because it's GFW.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Look, dude, I know TNA has like a negative connotation to it. We get it. You know, I get the joke. But it's become its own thing by now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't associate the term TNA with, you know, what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I associate it with wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
Bobby Lashley, Trevor Lee.
Trevor Lee for sure. I feel like Bobby Lashley's that's not fresh. Being the expert.
Yes, I should defer to you.
You really should. I mean, come on now. Have you been watching my reviews? You should really watch Impact.
Well, which one is it? Should I watch Impact or watch your review?
Both, man.
Well, if I'm watching Impact, I'm not going to watch your review.
Hey,
review, I'm not going to watch Impact.
If we get that office space, we got to start doing GFW reviews on our channel.
Oh, dear.
Make up for it. The revenue.
Well, I mean, never mind. Say GFW reviews might make up a fraction of it.
What do you think would do better, GFW or New Japan?
New Japan.
You think so?
Yeah.
Maybe.
There's a buzz about New Japan, Steve.
Yeah, man. It's awesome.
Unless we become like the go-to source for GFW reviews, like all 250,000 people who tune into GFW.
Hey, I'm getting like 5,000 views a week on my GFW reviews. So that translates to like 20,000 here.
Yeah.
Maybe 15. Maybe 10.
So you might be like one of three people who are doing GFW reviews, right?
All right, this is who I want. I want Braxton Sutter. He's a good-looking dude.
He's
old, though. Well, he's like 37, I think.
Oh.
And I don't know why his career hasn't taken him to where, like, to WWE or anything. I don't know why. Anyways, Braxton Sutter.
EC3.
Oh, EC3 is the top of my list, for sure. Big star. You already said Trevor Lee. He's good. Let's see here. Moose.
Yes.
Definitely want Moose.
Yes.
Although, that, you know, if Moose left, that'd be, like, I love Moose on GFW. He comes out.
My phone fell.
He comes out, he air guitar. Here's the thing about Moose. He comes out air guitaring his belt, but then he also has to, like, transition to this every time they say Moose in his theme song. Mm-hmm. And his theme song is great.
Yeah.
I don't know who over there is doing the theme, but that theme song is great. So Moose, Braxton Sutter, power rankings. Moose, Braxton Sutter, EC3.
Trevor Lee.
Trevor Lee. And I love Sienna, the wrestler. She's the current women's champ. She's fantastic. ACH is over there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Bring ACH
He's
over.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's real good.
Apparently, according to Hurricane Helms, he was really trying to get Chuck Taylor.
Yeah.
And he was really trying to get Cedric Alexander.
Yeah.
Before the Cruiserweight.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Wherever Shane Helms lands, they're going to be getting a lot because from everything I've heard about Hurricane, He's top notch. Mm-hmm. There's been rumblings about him being a coach in WWE.
That'd be a good idea.
That'd be fantastic. Look, what did he say? Watch out. It's a hurricane. Oh, man. Oh, you know who's come over from TNA?
Who? Jeff Jarrett. No. Absolutely not.
No, not at all. Slap nuts.
Slap nuts.
That's it for Dirt Sheet. I think it was a good collaboration. Be sure to watch non-news.
Yes.
It's up right now for you $5 patrons. I put it up Friday morning. I didn't last weekend because I had surgery.
Correct.
Yeah. Anyway.
Minor surgery.
I had minor surgery. It was not a lobotomy. No. Anyways, that's it for Dirt Sheet. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.